All right, we'll go ahead and get started. It's 9:30. It's good to see everyone this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. We've been gone a couple of weeks, so it's good to be back and see everyone. Thought I saw Steve somewhere. I want to thank Steve for teaching the last couple Sundays, and you will, Lord willing, see him again here before too long, back up here. So I really appreciate him doing that. Before we get started, I am completely out of the loop on anything that's critically happening or people who need to be prayed for. So anything, any prayer requests or... Yes, ma'am. I hear you. Yeah, we could all pray for our children that way, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
The
green. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for this time that we have to come here. We're thankful for those who made it a priority to be here this morning to study your word. Thank you for all the teachers. We'd ask that you would bless them, Father. Thank you for their willingness. And we'd ask that you would be with each of us as we study your word, that we might have an open heart, that we might be willing to be changed as needed and to be resolved to be better servants in your kingdom. We'd ask that you would specifically, Father, be with the Green family and that you'd watch over them and help them to seek you as you would have them to, help us to be an encouragement as we can. Father, we're mindful of all the physical challenges that we will always have in this world, and we'd ask that you would be with us physically and always, most importantly, spiritually, Father, that we might look to you and walk with you. We thank you for your Son, for all that he means to us, all of the good things that we have through him. Help us to always have a heart of gratitude in that way. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, it's good to see everyone. We are going to pick up kind of the Christian attitudes towards different topics. And we talked about sin and before. I know Becky's disappointed. We're not going to have the ninth lesson on the prodigal son and what we can learn from the prodigal. So we're going to leave the prodigal at home with his fatted calf. And but we do want to talk about what should our attitude be towards this physical world. All right, how should we think about, as Christians, this world? And just passing through, there's a song. It's not our home. Okay.
We've got to live in it. We don't have to be a part of it as far as participating in this world.
Okay. Live in it, not be of it. It's temporary. Okay. We had talked a long time ago. I mentioned, had a little phrase I was saying because it went with our class quite a bit. But you know, it's something for us to think about. Are we a body with a spirit, or a spirit with a body? All right, and kind of how you think about that really determines a lot, right? If you see yourself as, I'm a body, I mean, I'm a human first. I mean, I'm a human being, and I think I have a spirit, or I happen to have a spirit, or I think I'm spiritual, is very different than I'm a spiritual being, and for a period of time, I've got this, right? I've got this physical body. Okay. Well, let's, as you mentioned the word purpose, so let's talk about purpose for a minute. So if you're going to think about how should a Christian think about this world, what is the purpose of this world? Like, God, we've talked about this quite a while ago, but God could have made, you know, some people think the world's flat. He could have made it flat. He could have made it round. He could have made it a cube, a trapezoid. He could have made it with no trees, all trees. Could have made most of it water, no water. Like, he could have made this however he wanted. He could have had where there were six people on every planet, and he had lots and lots of planets, and they were only 100 yards apart from each other. I mean, he could have done anything he wanted to do, right? And so he did it this way. This wasn't an accident. He created, Genesis 1, this just like this. And so what is the purpose of this world? This time, this, and he created time because God doesn't live in time, right? So what is its purpose?
The Spirit was for us to have a place to live and to work and to be tested. God wanted children that are willingly giving themselves to service and love God. And how would he prove that is how you spend the time he has allotted you.
Okay, if I don't repeat that just right, let me know. So, you know, Jody had said, God had created this because this is, we need a place to live. He said to live, to work, and be tested. And that, what'd you say? That's right. He wants people who are going to willingly serve him. So what do you think about that?
That's exactly what it is. We're here to win souls. That's our purpose on this earth. It's got to be. Our purpose is to pay for eternity. So what other reason would we have other than to build up the kingdom as strong as we could on our way through?
So before we, I don't disagree with you. Before we get to our purpose, what is God's purpose for this? And so back to, you know, I think that was the first question is, what is God's purpose for this world? He put this world in front of us. Right, we didn't ask for it. He made it. He stuck us on it. And then we had the garden, and then we messed up, and we're still here.
We're here to glorify God.
Okay.
I mean, we're for his pleasure.
Yes. I'm coming to you, Becky.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. No, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you
go.
Finish this?
No. Becky was good. You go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. God did what he did, I believe, to show off how much he loves us, to show forth his attitude about us, his kindness, his grace. For by grace, we are saved. For by grace, show off his glory, you know, to look at the trees that show it forth God's glory and kindness toward us.
Okay. He could have.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, come. Becky, what you were going to.
Yeah, I was just looking at Psalms 50,
What does John, look at John 4, 23 and 24. Someone read that. John 4, 23 and 24. If you can read that, please, out loud, somebody.
But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Okay. What does God want? What does that, those verses tell us that he wants? He wants true worshipers. And he wants those He wants those worshipers to worship him how?
Spirit and truth.
When you think about heaven, when you think about eternity after this life, and you think about the things you read in Revelation, and you read, you know, that gives you just a little bit of a door into, you know, what that's like, and you think about all of the saints, like, what's the picture, what's going on in your head that you think of? Like, what's happening in heaven? Like, are we mowing the grass, or, you know, are you cleaning your mansion? Like, what's going on there? What's all of the imagery and things tell us? They're worshiping God. Holy, 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 right? Are you, Lord? Day and night, and singing and praise. Praise be to God. Praise the Lamb, right? Praise. It is worship and honor and glory to God. Like, we will worship him. He is our God forever, right? And he will take care of us forever. But does he want those who, go ahead, you can go ahead, because I'm about to go somewhere else. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what God is desiring, but God who made us such that we would didn't have the option. He made us a free moral agent, which says he wants those who choose him to be the one. And how do you know if they're going to choose? Well, you got to have a world and a life that they can live to demonstrate to God that these people truly love me, even though we mess up a bunch. We strive to do what God would have, and God then rewards us with accepting us into his fellowship.
That's right. The purpose, I believe, the purpose of this present world to God is for him to witness and see our lives, to see what we want. He wants to know, what do we want? Do we want to worship him, or do we want to worship self? Right? Now, there's things he expects us to do, which are all the other things that we talked about, right? That we're to glorify him here. We are to glorify him here. He wants that. So we're gonna glorify, and that's one of the ways he knows. The people who want to be in worship now, he knows, are the people who are going to want to worship him later. The people, he says, if you love me, you'll what? You will keep my commandments. So I'm not going to compel you. I'm not going to force you. I have the power to force you. If I want, these rocks will sing in praise to me, right? Didn't Jesus say that? Like, I can have these rocks praise me right now. You don't think I can have you praise me? But he's not going to have the rocks cry out and praise him and force the rocks to do that. Does it mean something more when someone chooses you and wants you and chooses you for you because I love you versus someone who's being forced to do it? God doesn't want that. He could make that happen, to your earlier point. I mean, every knee will bow. He will force. Every knee will bow to him. Everyone will confess him. But that doesn't mean he wants people, he's going to force people to worship him. He He's not going to force people to love him. Right? But he will have his moment. God is not mocked. Vengeance is mine, right, says the Lord. So this world for God is a period of time for people to self-select. You choose God or you choose self. You can worship God or you can worship self. You choose. And he's, go ahead. And that's our duty, right, is to fear him, keep his commandments, and when we learn about him, we love him, we understand what he's done for us, love grows for him, we worship him. And that's what he's looking for. This world is a time for us to choose. Now, what does that choice look like? When we choose God, then there's all these things that we talked about that will happen. We will serve one another. We will help one another. We will worship God. We won't go after our enemies. We won't, you know, all of these things are the choices that aren't human choices. Right? The human choice is not to turn the other cheek. So how does God know that you're going to that you love him when you bring yourself under discipline and you don't lash out and punch that person in the face that you want to punch in the face? Okay. Because that's not what God would have you do. And so when you do restrain yourself, he just chose me. Or she just chose me. Right? Every one of those choices, you are either crucifying Christ or you're crucifying self. Over and over again. We make the choice every day on 100 things. Am I going to crucify self or am I going to crucify Christ? And so that's why we're here. Now, he could make it so compelling. And initially he did. Let me tell you, fire drops out of the sky, kills some people, the Red Sea parts. I mean, and even with that stuff, people had a hard time believing, right? The dead are risen from the dead. People are healed who are blind. It's like he jump-started this whole thing with, there's a lot of evidence that there's a God. But he doesn't make it today where he drops down and he's going to appear right here over my head or someone else's head or he's not going to make it just so in your face. But what he says is, and we'll read some scriptures, is it's pretty in your face if you just look around. Right? It's pretty in your face if you just look around. I skipped over a lot of verses with my little rant there. I've been gone a few weeks. You got me going. All right. So the John 4, God seeks us. He's seeking people to worship him. He wants people who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth with their heart, right? Out of commitment, not out of compliance. He wants people who are committed, not just people who are compliant. In Revelation, we won't read it for time. Revelation 4, 1 through 11 is one of those verses I talked about. Look at the first 11 verses of Revelation 4, where God is worshipped forever and ever. And there's praise. Now let's just go there for a minute. Revelation 4. Was it Revelation 4? I'll read that real quick, just because it's a couple verses. So Revelation 4, After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third had the face of a man. The fourth, the living creature, like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There's all kinds of imagery over and over and over again that God is worthy. He is God, right? And he is looking for those to worship him and to praise him. And time on this earth is for us to decide. He's going to give us, and he has given us, enough evidence. But it's not going to be to where you are absolutely compelled beyond your free will. And then he will know. Those who sacrifice here, those who do what is not natural here. We are what kind of a people, we're told? His people? You are a peculiar people. Right? A royal priesthood. You're different. Why are you different? Because we don't do what naturally comes to man. God says, your ways are what? They are not my ways. So when people do things that are different than what normal people would do, when we are unselfish, when you look at what the world's happening, what's happening in the world today, there's a lot of doing what I want to do today. Is there not? Like, who's number one in a lot of people's minds today? It's me. It actually isn't you. I'll knock you over to get into the subway. I'll knock you in front of a subway. If you've got shoes I want, I'll take them. If you've got a watch I want, I'll just shoot you for it. I'll knock you down. I don't care your age. I don't care. I'll punch a 7-year-old in the face as I walk by if I don't like what they're wearing. I mean, there is absolutely no regard for other people. You think about the selflessness of Christ as he hung on that cross from people who were spitting on him and beating him as the Son of God who came down here, his own creation, and he looks down on him and says what? Forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. The mercy. The power he could have rained down on them in that moment. But that's the human way. It's not the mercy of our God. It's not the compassion. It's not the long-suffering. So he calls for us to be long-suffering one to another, to be compassionate, to be humble, to be loving, to be serving. Think of others higher than yourself. Those aren't natural human characteristics that he calls us to. So then I know you love me, because deep down, that's not what you really want to do. What you really want to do is you want to go strangle that person. What you really want to do is tell them what you think. What you really want to do is you want to cheat. You want to take that for yourself. So when we think about this world, I do want us, and we'll talk about it if we don't finish this morning, we will talk about that it is temporary, we're passing through, it's all those things that are right. But when we think about this world, I don't want us to forget why this world's here. What is God trying to get out of this? What is his purpose? And his purpose is what we just talked about. He's going to separate, and then he will be the judge based on your choice, based on the evidence that you've given him. And he's not going to force you to worship him, right? If we read those passages and we think, man, they worshiped him day and night, right? Like all the time. Like that's a lot. I don't know if I could do that, right? Well, we're not... We're going to be different. It's a different situation there. We're not going to be in these bodies, right? You're not going to get tired. You're not going to be thinking about lunch here in a little bit when your stomach's growling. It's going to be different. And you're going to be fully everything that is good, everything that is good, everything that is positive, anything that is redeemable, even in this world, is from God. We will be right in the middle of that, of all that's good. There will be no evil. There will be no lying. There will be no malice. There will be no vengeance. There won't be any guilt. There won't be depression. There won't be sadness. There won't be tears. It will be joy. God will tap into that part of our spirit that he has made. And that's what it'll be. And we'll be with those that we love. And we'll be with those who love God and those who love each other forever. Forever. But we got to choose here. Right? What bus are you getting on? Because he's not going to force you to get on the bus. Which tempts me to go back to the story of the prodigal, but I won't. Okay, Revelation 1, 15 and 16, someone can read that. Just do a couple of these, then we'll talk just a little bit more about this world, physical world. But Revelation 1, 15 and 16, what's that say?
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars.
That's Revelation 1, 15 and 16?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I was thinking, boy, I don't know what I'm going to say about that. Okay, well, then I've got the wrong verse down. Oh, my apologies. Yeah, that's not what I want. Okay, well, that was supposed to be the lukewarm passage. Which is probably... Three, 15 and 16. So I was just off by 2 chapters. someone read 3:15-16?
I know thy works, but thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
What's the first part of 15 say? He says, I what? I know your works. I know your deeds. I'm watching. All right, because I want to know what you want to do. And he doesn't want someone that's lukewarm, someone who's right in the middle. Okay? Get on a bus. Right? You don't get to straddle. Figure out where you want to be. Now, sometimes we get off the bus and we hop on the other bus for a while because we all make mistakes and we get delusional and we think that bus is going to take us somewhere better. And then we figure out that's not a great bus. We don't love the people who are on it and they don't share their seat and everything else. And so we want to get back on the other bus. Okay? He says, I don't want you lukewarm. That's not how it is. And then in Matthew 6:24, what does that say? Matthew 6:24.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and man.
Right. So we've heard that a lot, right? In the church, you can't serve both, and you, even if you think you are, you're not. So if you think you're serving both, you're really just serving one, which isn't God. Okay, you can't have a foot in each camp. You got to choose, because that he's making us choose. He is making us choose. That's what he's forcing us to do. And if you say, well, I'm not going to choose, then that means you've just chosen. Because you either are, he wants to be chosen. It takes a deliberate act. I will follow you. I will do what you want me to do. And I will crucify the things I want done. I will deprioritize my will. And I'll do what you want me to do. And that's how you know, God, that I love you. Because it's not in word, it's in action. And it's not a bunch of talk about it, it's doing it. And sometimes we got to talk about it a lot before we do it, because we just got to, it's like getting out of bed, right? It's like, I need to get out of bed. I got to get out of bed. Man, it is time to get out of bed. I really need to be out of bed. But at least you're not saying, I'm staying in bed. I wish I'd stay in bed. I need to stay in bed, because then you're never going to get out of bed. Okay, so if you're not doing yet, keep talking about doing. Keep thinking about doing. But at some point, you got to do. You got to pull the covers back, feel the cold air, and you got to start moving. All right? You've got to make a choice. And the fact that everyone else is out doing other stuff today, it's not natural to get up in the morning, to get ready, to get your family ready, to go somewhere, and for a lot of people on a day off, or even more on a work day where you got to work after this, and go into worship something that you can't see right in front of you. Like, that's not human. That's not man's ways. Although 85% of the world's population has a faith. So we intuitively know something's going on.
We need something.
Intuitively, we know, as we look around and we think about, man, this is a lot of stuff to come from nothing. Right? It's like, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff to come from a cell that exploded or something happened, and all of this just worked out. I don't know. Right? Kind of makes me... But I won't really think about that. I just want to go to McDonald's and see my friends today, and I'm not going to think about that today. All right? Just put it out of our minds. That's a heavy thought. It's too early. Can't have those heavy thoughts at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'll think about that when I'm 30, 40, 70, 80.
There's no guarantee you're going to get there. It's a problem.
You know? And we'll think about it later. Okay. Genesis 6:3, well, I'm just going to say 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is long-suffering towards us. He is long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish, we're told in 2 Peter 3:7 through 9. But in Genesis 6:3 tells us what? Just look at that real quick. Genesis 6:3.
Said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Yeah, the Lord said, my spirit, what? It's not going to strive with man forever. So, I'm long-suffering, and this has an expiration date on it. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, because the day is going to come, 2 Peter 3:10, where this all is going to, there's an expiration date on this. He goes, my spirit's not going to strive with man forever. My spirit, you know, is there for man's spirit. All right. We've only got a couple of minutes here. But we got a couple of minutes. Let's look at John 17, 14 and 6, 14 through 16. Can someone read that? John 17, 14 through 16. Okay. So, what is this telling? Who's speaking here?
Jesus.
And what is he actually doing? What is this part of?
Praying.
He's praying. Okay. And what is his prayer? What is in the verses that we read? What's he praying? What's he saying to God? He says, I've given him your word. And what? What's happened because of that? And the world's hated them. Why? Because they're not of the world. So this gets back to, so now that we're here, okay, the first part is recognize why this physical world's here. Don't just bypass that. Okay? We've got a choice to make. And His spirit's not going to strive forever. Just like in Genesis 6, at some point he said, this man is so wicked, I'm destroying it. And he destroyed it by water. Okay, and he's not going to destroy it by water again, which is the 2 Peter 3, which we'll get to. Okay, but he goes, it's not going to last forever. But he says here, they've hated them. Because they're not of this world. So one of the ways that we think about this is that we're not to be of this world. Right? Because he says, what? Just as what? I am not of this world. Well, what is Jesus of? He's part of God. I mean, it's a little different. I mean, he is God, right? He is part of the Godhead, but this is not his domain, right? He is not contained by this world. We are limited. We are contained by, he is not contained by this world. But even those who are contained, those that he taught their word, He said they are also not of this world. So he actually isn't physically contained. We are physically contained to this world, but even those who are physically constrained by this world, he says they're not of this world. So how are they not of this world?
They're not in the spirit, but in physical world.
I'm sorry?
They're living in the spirit.
They're living in the spirit. What does that mean? Okay, their life is dedicated to doing the will of God, not the will of the world. Right? Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of a verse in Ephesians. Second chapter, somewhere like that, where once we obey the gospel, then we are in Christ, and he raised us up to seat in heavenly places. Kind of help me out with that? But that's what?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So look at what 15 says. It's along those lines. Because he goes, they're not of this world. So is he praying that they be taken out of this world?
No.
He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Right? Because he understands the purpose of the world. He understands the purpose of this is that they need to be here. The ones I have taught your word and the ones who are responding to it, it's working. Right? It's clear they're not of this world. It's clear they don't want to be part of this world. It is clear they want to be with you because they are doing the things of your word. They don't identify with this. They identify with you. Right? They identify up. They don't identify here. And he says, I don't pray that you take them out of this world, verse 15, but that you should keep them what? Keep them from the evil one. That's what I'm praying for, because they're making the effort. They want to do what you want them to do. They are responding to your word, Father. And my prayer isn't that you remove them, because we know that's not the plan. That's why you did all of this. But I do pray, protect them. Keep them from the evil one, because their hearts are with you. And he goes on in verse 16 and says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world, says it again. But look at 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Right? It's like they need to be sanctified. And we want to keep them sanctified. They are clean. They are set apart. Right? The church means what? It's the called out. Called out of what? The world. Many are called, we're told, but what? Few are chosen. Few come. And that's what this is all about. He just wants to know, I'm calling. I'm calling. And I'm calling. And I'm still calling. And I want every single one who wants to come, I want them to come. And even when I think it's the last day that I should call, I'm going to call one more day. Because it is my will that none should perish, right? Even with Lot. But Lord, what if there are 20 righteous out of this whole city? Will you spare? Yes, I'll spare even. Even 20, I'll spare the city. Well, what if there's 10? God's like, yeah, if there's 10, I'll do 10. I mean, I would want 10. Right? We're told the lost sheep and the 99 and the one, that he'll go after the one. The prodigal. Yes, Becky. Today's bulletin article.
Today's bulletin.
All right, so we just...
last week's.
Okay. All right. We're going to pick up just on the few characteristics of this world, how we should be thinking about it. Appreciate your comments today. Thank you.